And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Darren McFarland, Will Adonick in the saddle with you for the next 4 hours. Max Herz is along for the ride as well. Hillside Medical Game Studios.
Hello.
Lots to get into today. There you go. That was Max. He's real. He is real.
I'm not real.
No, you are. Ryan McDonough will join us in the third hour of the program. So our first chat with the new Predators defenseman coming up, it'll probably be around 12:15. Our last hurrah for the season with Elliot Friedman. He is so kind to give us not only his time throughout the course of the season, but throughout the course of the playoffs and all the way through free agency. And here we are. So today will be it, and then he'll go away until things crank back up, which won't be that long. He'll come back in October. So look forward to that. Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. Jack Fraser at 10:30. Jay Fresh is what we affectionately call him, and a lot of people. And Robbie Stanley in the second hour. We're going to get into a variety of things with him. He went on a little bit of a rant, something that I reached out to these guys last night and asked about. Like, I was watching the Nashville SC game and had some questions on some things that were circulating on Twitter. So we'll do all that at 11 o'clock. After we got off the air yesterday, it actually started. The keg stands started in Columbus, Ohio when we were on the air in the final hour. And they were clearly doing a bar crawl. For all those people out there, have you ever done a bar crawl? I'll just start with the show, and then we'll ask the listeners. Anybody ever done a bar crawl?
Oh, yes.
Willie, you know what that is? Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did not expect you to be a yes.
What?
Oh,
why?
Talk to me. I want to hear this. When? Last week. Cool. No, I'm just kidding.
It was a little bit further back.
20s?
Actually, the last time I did that would have been post-20s. It would have been, I hope I can reveal this without
Time has elapsed. Yeah, no, you're good.
Yeah, I think the statute of limitations.
Yes, right. Yes.
Mitch Light's bachelor party.
Okay.
We did a pub crawl downtown, which was not quite as raucous as it is today. Just wall-to-wall people. But it was coming along. This would have been late 90s.
Okay.
Maybe early two. No, I'm thinking late 90s. Late 90s, 98. I think is the year he got married, if I want to guess. Still married to Heather Light, outstanding family. But we had a great, we had a competition. It was golf. You had a scorecard, and you had to have a beer at a series of establishments along Broadway and such. And I'm happy to say that Bruce Elder and I scored very, very well. My roommate, former co-captain of the 93 SEC champion Commodores. And he played like a champion that night. So did I.
Oh, wow.
We were outstanding.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So that was my last pub crawl, I think.
I am impressed. I really thought you would be probably a no, considering that is, you know, just not
see,
your style.
I think, no. See, what, that's a misnomer.
But a bachelor party makes sense. I mean, I get
but
that.
But that's a misnomer. That's not my style. You act like you've never seen me out having a few beers. You've never seen that?
I have.
Ask,
I have.
You can ask my road dogs on the Pred circuit.
Look, one of the funniest conversations, and I'm not going to tell the story, but I'm just going to leave it where people are going to get mad for just putting that out there and not finishing the story. But Chase is my witness. One of the best interactions with David Poyle in one of our weekly Tuesdays when he showed up on site was after his hit with us standing around talking, and you were brought up in that conversation. And I've got to be honest, that one still puts a smile on my face every time I think about that.
No, I can tell you exactly. I can remember exactly what you're talking about. My birthday happened to fall on a night that we arrived in Vancouver.
So if you want to tell
and
it, go
you
ahead.
Just put two and two together. I mean, we arrived in Vancouver. It was my birthday. And everyone was like, hey, Will, it's your birthday. Not that you need an excuse when you go to Vancouver to have some fun, but that was the case.
Look, so you've put it out there. I mean, David was just concerned.
Yeah, David was concerned.
You went off the grid for 24 hours.
He did kind of say, you okay?
And I was like, wait a minute, what? So I was like, no, you're going to tell us what you're talking about. And he's like, well, celebrate his birthday, and he seemed to go off the grid for a good while. Nobody could find him.
I'm just thankful it was an off day the next day.
Well, of course. So, all right. So let's find out from young Max Herz. Bar crawl?
Have I ever been on one? Yes. But Willie's sound more fun.
What? Wait a minute. You didn't have fun on your bar crawl?
Well, it wasn't Mitch Light's bachelor party.
Okay. But was it a bachelor party?
No, I've actually never been to a bachelor party.
Oh, wow. Man, you are sheltered, young Max. You've got more things to do in life, more things to accomplish.
I need some of my friends to go get married, I believe, is what you
said. Certainly do.
You're about to hit the green zone there.
Yeah, it's
you're getting to the age. They're going to start coming fast and
the next
furious.
5 years, you're going to get a lot. Yeah. You're going to get a lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saving up for that, both money and energy.
I do think that's important to do both because you will spend a lot of both. You're like, you're getting married where? Like, this is my best buddy, but you're asking me to go to, like, for me, it was, we had to get our people to go to Lexington, Virginia, which is not the easiest place to get to in the middle of nowhere, pretty much. But they got there, and fun was had. Did you ever have that, Darren? Like, you're getting married, great, when's the wedding? Oh, yeah, good, that'll work, and then, hey, we're getting married in Sweden. What?
I have had that. Not sweet, but yeah, I have had
Bermuda. Oh. We're getting married in Bermuda. Oh. Yeah, on this remote island. It'll be great. How the heck am I going to get there? I'm 25 years old. I'm working two jobs.
Yeah, in my 20s, I didn't have nickels to rub together. Yeah. So, yeah.
Did either of you see the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode in either of the last two seasons with the destination wedding?
Oh, yes.
I believe they went to Mexico.
Yeah.
So we actually found out on the Sports Illustrated media podcast, which is Jimmy Traina. He had Erin Andrews on the last couple of weeks, and she said that multiple of the bits in that episode were based off of her and Jarrett Stoll's wedding.
Is that right?
And Larry is friends with Jarrett Stoll, so he was there.
Okay.
Including the part about how one of them had booked a private plane to go, and everyone was like, oh, we're all going to the same place. Let's all take the private plane.
Yeah, I did see that one. Yeah, and what could go wrong? Well, just watch the episode. That can happen.
It can happen. So, yeah. So, apparently, they were doing a bar crawl yesterday in Columbus. Or maybe they went to a Columbus Clippers game. I remember one time I had the bright idea on a guy's trip to Chicago. We were at Wrigley Field at a Cubs game on a Saturday afternoon game. I mean, what could go wrong? And I was like, man, well, this is awesome, man. We're at a Cubs Cardinals game. It's packed. We've got great seats. We're at Wrigley. It's a great day. It's a guy's trip. Let's do a beer an inning. Yeah, that was a mistake. That was a huge mistake. So maybe they did the beer an inning.
Beer
game
an inning. That's
Columbus
a tough,
Clippers.
That's a tough assignment.
Oh, if the last out is recorded, and the inning is completed. And you have not finished, and your cup is not completely emptied. You double up the next inning. Of course, that never happened, but that were the rules that were laid down.
I mean, that sounds like a great idea at the beginning of the game.
It sounded on paper like everybody was when I suggested it, I was like, yeah, let's do it. And by the end, well, like after, you know, many times throughout that trip and beyond that trip, it was like, that was a really bad idea. That was really dumb. But boy, did we have fun. Boy, did we have fun. That was one of the most fun I ever had. Definitely in Chicago. It was the most fun I ever had in a day. Boy, we kept going after the Cubs game. It was fun, but it was a bad idea. Maybe they were doing that at the Columbus Clippers game. Maybe it started as a bar crawl. Maybe they ended up at a Clippers game and did a beer and inning. But I don't know what's going on with the Blue Jackets. But just when you thought the wackiness was completed with Eric Branson signing a 4-year, $16 million deal, oh, no. Johnny Gaudreau says, you know what? I know nobody wants to go to Columbus. Everybody's like, get me out of here. I want to go there. I know Calgary offered me $80-plus million, but you know what? I'll go there for less. Yeah, I'll sign up for that.
That was one where I did have to pull out the old math chart that I had for Philip Forsberg, and I asked myself, it was like, how much money is he leaving on the table? But you and I talked about this. It seemed like the signals were saying very much like Ryan Suter. He wasn't saying, I'm out of Calgary. And really, if Calgary could do it all over again, maybe they press him and say, look, I'm getting signals here. I mean, don't you think they're having that conversation in Calgary today? Like, hey, the signals were out there, man. It wasn't about money. Like, everybody knows the money, right? It doesn't take a math genius to say the guy was leaving a ton of money on the table.
I don't think you need to get the calculator out for that one.
It was an easy one. Everybody knew it. But what is a worthy question today is, why didn't they get it sooner? Because it seems in retrospect that it wasn't like Johnny Gaudreau was wrestling over it. Maybe he was. He's human. But the signals from all along were like, kind of looks like he wants to get out of there. It doesn't it sound very Ryan Suter-ish in you know, the modern times with the current CBA?
Yes.
Big time, right?
Well, without knowing their thoughts up there, not knowing if, you know, they were thinking, hey, yeah, I think he's coming back. Yeah, I think we're good. We're not going to lose him. He's not ultimately. Look, we're going to make him an offer he can't refuse, and, you know, ultimately he's going to be here. I don't know. I don't know what tea leaves they were reading. I don't know how they felt.
Now,
clearly,
twist.
They didn't move him, right? They didn't move him. They didn't get anything for him. And so he walks. They get nothing.
Yeah, and I don't think they – I mean, they might have gotten a draft pick from somebody that wanted to take a crack at exclusive window. That's about all you could have done after this. You were going to trade him during the season. There was just no way.
Right.
But I do think they could have planned and been ready for free agency on day one by moving some stuff around if they knew that Gaudreau wasn't coming back. Instead, they kind of got left at the altar the day before free agency started, and I'm sure they had to scramble. And they've got a very complicated situation going on with Tkachuk and a couple other restricted free agents. So their whole plan A, was blown to smithereens, and now let's see what their plan B. They're probably just working on plan B right now. Or, you know, the reality of plan B. They're probably just opening up the book on plan B if they had one.
So there was a lot of big names that we talked about for 4 hours yesterday that have found homes since we got off the air. So we will talk about that. How does that affect the Predators? Also, Andy Strickland has struck right before the show on Twitter with a tweet about the Predators. Oh, are they shopping Forsberg? I don't know. We'll find out. We'll read that tweet when we come back. Jack Fraser at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on the DDC on this Thursday morning, Darren McFarland, that's me. Willie Donick, that's him. Max Herz in the saddle, manning things. If you call in, you'll get his wonderful voice. We'll give away tickets to My Chemical Romance sometime today before we get out of here. I was reminded during the break via the text, my text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Best time in Chicago, huh? Oh, yeah, I did propose in Chicago, so, yeah, rescind that. That day at Wrigley was not the best day in Chicago, so I do take that back. My bad. do have a tweet. Whoops. Ooh, what's that smell? Oh, there's something on the bottom of my feet. Andy Strickland has struck with a tweet right before the show, and it's about the Predators. Is it about them wrapping up Forsberg with a deal, now shopping him? No, it is not. He writes, Nashville eyeing another goaltender. Former Blackhawk Kevin Lankinen could be a player they target. Hashtag Preds. Your thoughts?
Well, I think you heard me say a couple days ago, before the qualifying offers went out, I think that they wanted to look at it. It makes sense to want a number three candidate that is an insurance policy to back up UC Saros, that has a little bit of NHL experience. Then when they offered Devin Cooley a contract, who is a steady 25-year-old guy who's done some very good things in Milwaukee, I thought, well, it looks like they're going to sink or swim with Ingram. And then you have Askarov, who is still so young, But, you know, could I see them bringing him up for one or two games if he was playing well in Milwaukee? I was like, okay, maybe you could do it that way. This makes some sense. Kevin Lankinen is a pretty young guy. He is only 26, or he'll be 26. Yeah, he's just turned 27, so he'll be 27 this year. He has been playing in front of maybe the worst defensive team, or one of the five worst defensive teams in the league, for 2 years. And last year, the roof caved in on him. He was brutal. I mean, let's just call it how it was. He was awful last year. The year before that, the shortened 56-game year, he was a Rookie of the Year radar guy until they kind of faded towards the end of the season. Still had okay numbers. His goals saved above average was above water, if you will. So that's important to note. So he brings something to the table. My question is, what's the cost, and would this be a one-way or a two-way deal? Because if it's a two-way deal and Connor Ingram is ready, then that makes a lot of sense, because then you could maybe have Lankinen down low. But Kevin Lankinen has been a part-time starter for 2 years in the league, so can you possibly get him on a two-way deal? I don't see that. Mm-hmm. So are
especially
you saying
when David Reddick, by the way, did land a job
I was
after
stunned.
We got off the air yesterday.
I was stunned. But the
He's
Jets
in the peg.
Well, and remember what happens in the peg. Connor Hellebuck is the number one. Well, that too. And also, it snows a lot. It's below zero a lot.
And it's flat.
There's a lot of salt on the streets. And if it's windy, it gets all over you. That, those things happen.
Well, you have to
There's a lot of beer drinking, which is
bridges,
great.
The bridges, the indoor walkways. You have to take
You got the
that.
Hallways. Yep. Uh-huh. And the other thing is Connor Hellebuck starts a ton of games. So you're even hard to remember who the backup is half the time up there. But their backup,
like
Eric Comrie, left.
Here.
So, he doesn't get much run. So they signed David Riddick to be the backup. So Riddick is probably saying, well, I'll take it. But now I'm in a situation again where I'm playing behind a workhorse. So all that being said, Lankinen's out there. The only thing that I'm concerned, I think he would be a very good backup, honestly. He'd be a very good backup. But the problem is, what does that do to Ingram? So that means Ingram, you got to play in Milwaukee, which means you just signed Devin Cooley. So where does that leave Askarov? These are my questions.
Is
right?
there something we don't know?
No.
If this is true?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, the picture you're painting, which is true, same picture I was painting in my head when I saw Andy's tweet, and I realized it wasn't about them shopping Philip Forsberg. It was, okay, that's a pretty crowded house if that's true.
Yes.
So what do we not know? Something happened? Is there something we don't know?
Maybe it's, look, you got to have your bases covered. You'll deal with it later. He's going to be very inexpensive. I think you're trying to shop around $1 million at the most.
Right, but as you said, what if you can't get him on a two-way deal? I mean, Reddick didn't get a two-way deal.
Yeah, David Riddick got an NHL contract, which I was really surprised. I thought he would have to go the Louis Domingue route.
Right.
But it shows you that if you have experience, you have some value. There's still some of the goalie moves that have been made the last couple of days are head scratchers. The investment in Matt Murray, some of the other goalies, they're making well above what UC Soros is going to make, and people gleefully jumped in there and committed for 4 or 5 years to these guys. So goalies are hard to find, and I have a lot of confidence in Connor Ingram, but is he the only guy you're going to lean on? It makes sense to have a veteran in there. But what do you do with the other guys? That's going to be the question. It's a little messy in Milwaukee, I would think, if you bring in Lankinen to be the backup. But Lankinen, I think, could potentially, at the age he is, be a very a solid upgrade as a backup there. If they can piece him back together after getting – I mean, there's got to be some shell shock, right, after last year in Chicago. I mean, you talk about getting lit up.
Well,
here's
my problem with what you just said. Okay, so you're looking for something a little bit more experienced. Again, Connor Ingram is not 21 years old. He didn't. Yeah. He wasn't just legal to do a bar crawl. Okay, he's older than that. He's been around now for a bit. He's been in the system for the Predators for a bit now, and it kind of goes back to the Jeremy Davies situation that I kept saying year after year. Like, at some point, either he's good enough or he's not. Like, Connor Ingram, and I get it, there's been another layer to Connor Ingram in the past, so I understand that we're not talking about with Jeremy Davies. But at some point, you reach a point where I think, like, Connor Ingram is at that point now. He's been here long enough. He got a little dabble last year. We could see it was better than David Rittich. They decided to move on and use him down the stretch when UC went down over David Rittich. So either he's good enough or he's not good enough at the NHL level.
But you've got to have a number three either way, don't you?
You're not paying $1 million for the three, are you?
That's the dilemma. We saw what happened to Pittsburgh in the playoffs, where they had to go to a number three in the playoffs. It happens during the season. Let's take Buffalo, which was a total disaster anyway. But remember, they were playing like their fifth or sixth goalie. You do have to be prepared for the worst. So if your only goalies in the system are guys that have virtually not played at all, Connor Ingram's played two games plus some playoff games, that's really not enough to be able to say he's the two, and then you've got complete unknowns after that. As much as we love Askarov in the future, he's so young.
He's years away.
Yes, I agree. So anybody that wants to advance him at this point, I think they're not doing that. They're just not going to do that. But how do you get playing time for Ingram, Cooley, who you just kept? If they hadn't kept Cooley, I would have said
it's a different conversation.
Yeah. But so I don't know what they would do with Cooley. Maybe they just find somebody to take him. I mean, he's just on a two-way deal anyway. So
Kyle on our text line says, could packaging Ingram get a top six forward? With all due respect to Connor Ingram, he just doesn't have the skins at the NHL level to
six.
Get you anything. No.
Not a top six. Now, somebody might be interested in him based on
a journeyman.
Right.
But you're not getting a top six.
Could be maybe a draft pick, but you're not.
Or a draft pick. Middle rounds.
But that's not the solution. Of course, everybody is still wondering about the bigger picture. In the more immediate thing, pressing need is, what are they going to do? After a day where nothing happened, what is the move to address the second line?
Ethan from Lawrenceburg. Is that Lawrenceburg, Kentucky or Lawrenceburg, Tennessee? I'm going to probably go with Tennessee. Ethan says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, could this mean a possible Askarov trade? No.
No way.
Could not. It does not mean that.
0%.
Hold on. Let's think about it. No.
No.
Let's think about it again. No.
Nope.
One more time.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, that's a no. John the Mailman on our text line says, rut-row, Darren is on the Shaw list. Yeah, that is true. That is true, John, after that stupid comment about Chicago.
Whoops.
Bicycle Boy asked a good question on our text line. Do you think Calgary fans will boo every time Gaudreau comes back to Calgary from now until eternity? I would say, yeah, I do.
Some people were speculating that he will get booed in four arenas next year because you have to add New Jersey, Philadelphia, and the Islanders.
He could be the most hated guy in the NHL next year. Speaking of that, an unknown texter says Johnny Gaudreau is now a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets. So long, promising career. It's been nice knowing you. Well, I don't think he's going to go. He's too good just to go away. I am just as perplexed as everybody else. I just was stunned. I'm like, everybody else is running from Columbus. He ran right into the crowd to Columbus, right? Everybody's running away. He's like, where are you guys going? And he's just running right to the city of Columbus. It's mind-blowing. And the money he left on the table, wow.
And the fact
clearly
that
he wanted out of Canada.
Columbus is not in as good a cap shape as I thought. And so that's like I look at Ottawa and I looked at New Jersey. I was like, okay, those guys might be ready to start making a big turn. Columbus has got a little ways to go, and they don't have any cap space now that they have Gaudreau. So where do they go from here?
Nope. All right, we'll come back. Jack Fraser on the other side. Jay Fresh next. Back here on the DDC on this Thursday morning, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Jack Fraser, affectionately known as Jay Fresh. I love it. Let's talk a little hockey analytics with him. Jack, thanks for joining us again. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I will say the Jay Fresh is often used unaffectionately. So I got to correct you there.
Well, we're going to use it affectionately.
We think it's good. It's a positive thing in Nashville. Just know that.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I'm not sure we need some help. Okay, this happened in the final hour of our show yesterday, and while we really enjoyed getting to know him, nice guy, this is a business, and we are very perplexed at the Blue Jackets giving Eric Branson 4 years, $16 million, guaranteed. Can you explain why Columbus felt the need to give Branson 4 years at four per?
No. But, well, you can read what they said, and what they said was essentially they felt like they had drafted and developed enough skilled guys on their blue line and that they needed an older player, a more physical player. And, you know, Branson was – he was okay for Calgary last year. Certainly the best year I think that he's had in a very long time. I think he, you know, a lot of people playing for Daryl Sutter last year had the best year that they'd had in a very long time. You know, I think they maybe overreacted to that. They saw what the blue line market was looking like, which was a whole lot of physical defensemen getting paid around $4 million for 4 years. And they jumped on it. And look, it's one of the biggest head-scratching deals that we've seen in a very long time. You know, it has shades of when Derek Englund was signed to that contract, you know, 8 years ago or so, where the question was, oh, is that per year or is that over the total of the contract? And I think this is one of those kinds of deals.
How much drinking do you think Johnny Gaudreau's agent has been doing since he left, I don't know, how many millions on the table to leave and go sign in Columbus as well? That was, look, it's clear that being back in the States was important. We knew that was out there. But to leave that much money out there, to not get the extra year, I mean, there's a whole lot of layers to this. How surprised were you at that deal? And to ultimately end up in Columbus where it looks like players are trying to run out of that city, he ran into it.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I was recording an episode of the Hockey PDO cast with Del Musician from The Athletic and Dmitry Filipovich of EP Ringside. He got signed live on the air, and we were pretty much stunned and silent. It really does seem like all those reports that we had that, you know, the Devils were offering $10.5 million and the Blue Jackets were offering $12 million, that was all, you know, false reporting or at least misled reporting. And that it really seems at this point like the Jackets just offered the most money over the 7 years, and he wanted to move to the States, and so that's what he took. Still shocking, but I think it makes a little bit more sense when you see this as being purely a, you know, he ended up going to the highest bidder situation.
We learned from David Poile being on our show this week that it's not flat, it's going to go up $1 million. It's minimal, right? So the salary cap is basically staying very low. And so are you surprised with that being said? It's not like where the NFL comes out and says, our cap is going up $22 million. You know, next year, and GMs can start preparing for that, and accordingly, not the case. So with that being said, what do you make of all these monster deals? I mean, some of these signings I liked, but, man, it's, you know, the Rangers 7 years, it's like, I don't know if I love some of these max deals. Tampa, you know, luckily the Predators get Ryan McDonagh, but the next thing you know, we think they're out of money, and they sign three max deals. So what did you make of all the activity yesterday and today?
Well, from my understanding, the cap is going to be remaining at least a little bit flat until they kind of make up for the money that they lost during COVID. But the general league-wide revenue is going up pretty quick, especially with the TV deal. So after a couple of years, I think the cap is going to rise, which maybe will make those super long-term deals a little bit more palatable. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, those kinds of seven-year deals in the $5.5 million range, we've been seeing them since the beginning of unrestricted free agency, and I don't think we're ever going to stop seeing them. You know, teams that don't want to have to go through the trade market or find other routes to add those kind of second line, you know, high third line top four defensive types of players, they're always going to want to just add them for free in free agency, and you're going to have to pay term to do it. Even though, you know, we have at this point over 15 years of lessons of how those contracts tend to go, GMs just keep signing them. And I think we've learned in the past 3 years that even under the most stringent cap circumstances possible, that's not going to stop teams from trying to do it and saying that, oh, we're the exception. You know, this isn't going to be Louis Erickson or Kyle Okposo or Milan Lucic. You know, this is going to be the one that works out.
We're talking to Jack Fraser, EP Ringside Analytics. You can find him on Twitter at JFreshHockey. And Jack, I got to tell you, we enjoyed how quick you were able to put up that player card with the statistical, you know, outline of what a player has been. So let me ask you about a couple of guys, because another one that we're really puzzled about, because the Predators have sort of made it known for the reasons you said. The cap's going to be flat this year and next year, so you got to get over the hump. The Predators have plenty of guys that are locked up long-term, so they're looking for something short-term. Max Pacioretty, we thought, was going to be a perfect fit, and little did we know that they were willing to give him away. So I don't know what happened there. I don't know if they just didn't want to deal him to the West and it was easier to throw him to the East, but it looked like Pacioretty would have been a perfect fit for Nashville.
Yeah, I would have to imagine that it comes down to them not wanting to trade him within the conference or within the division, because there's so many teams. I mean, Calgary right now, for example, a team that just happened to lose a pretty highly paid left wing, they would have killed to have Max Pacioretty, I'm sure. Nashville could have obviously used him. And he ends up going to Carolina with almost no rumors around it. You know, we heard that they might consider moving Pacioretty, but we certainly did not have any idea that it was going to be just a pure cat dump. It really seems like they kind of panicked themselves into a quick move, that they set their own parameters to not have it so that they might have to play the player or play against the player in the playoffs. And, I mean, that's a result. You lose one of the best snipers in the NHL who has 1 year left on his deal for, you know, negative value, which seems shocking, but it really does, you know, it's par for the course for what Vegas has been doing the past couple of years.
Yeah, and, Nashville benefited from that with Ryan McDonagh, but it does limit what they can do here. So let's look at a couple other guys sort of in that situation. What do you think it would take to get a JT Miller for 1 year? What kind of trade value does he have? Given, I just looked at Vancouver. They signed the Russian kid yesterday. They are over the cap right now. Don't they have to make a deal for him or Horvat?
Yeah, it seems like they are going to make some kind of deal there. You know, the thing with Miller is that he's a very hard player to really kind of make heads or tails of, because he was kind of a, you know, 55-point type player for a couple of years. He comes to Vancouver. They give him a huge amount of ice time and also power play time. And he ends up scoring at, you know, about 70-point pace and then suddenly 100 points this year, pretty much out of nowhere. And so it's kind of a Nazem Kadri situation where the player is going to want to get paid long-term like an elite center, but the track record really isn't there, and you don't know what's going to happen next. And meanwhile, the player is entering his 30s. Based on all the speculation, and I don't think we've actually been able to hear, you know, concrete terms of what might be available, but I really think in terms of trades that Vancouver is going to be treating him like a legit 100-point player, and they would want the return that kind of player on a one-year deal or even with a negotiated extension would cost. So that's a tricky thing to sort out, and there aren't very many teams in the league that have the asset base for that kind of thing, or maybe the ability or desire to sign a player like that long-term for $8 million. But
right, and that would be the Predators. Right? You would be trading him for the 1 year and the 1 year only, probably, in a situation like that. So let's look at Alex Killorn. Now that Tampa's done all what they've done, can they afford to keep Alex Killorn?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about them having to move Alex Killorn for 5 years now.
Exactly.
And somehow the guy has stuck around. I mean, you look at the amount of cap that they have committed after this season, you know, after they signed those 8-year deals, it was something like $79 million they already have committed. I would imagine that at this point, you'd think Killorn has to go. And he's still a useful player. I'm not sure how many years he has left on his deal. So there you go. So I think that would be a pretty easy one for them to sort out. But, I mean, if they can make it work this year, we've seen them able to work cap magic before. It wouldn't surprise me if this guy just keeps sticking around.
Speculation on Kevin Lankinen to the Predators as a backup at least insurance policy, if nothing else. They like Connor Ingram, but he's only played a handful of games. What is your profile on Kevin Lankinen after he got bombarded in front of a really rough defense in Chicago?
Yeah, it's not good. But, you know, he's a guy who has played NHL games. I would envision him hopefully as being a kind of third stringer. And, you know, you have a guy who's played, I mean, briefly a starting role in the NHL. You have him as the depth in your organization. I don't think he's complaining about that. I think the Preds will be in a better situation if Ingram is good to go and they can roll with him as the backup. But, you know, as tight a goalie market as it is, I would imagine Lankinen wouldn't cost very much. And at least, you know, it's a body. And we've seen, I mean, the Predators saw, obviously, how important it is to have just bodies who can compete at the NHL level as goalies.
Yep, you never know when you need the live body. Jack, great stuff. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you again down the road. Thanks for the time.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Jack Fraser, EP Ringside, analytics extraordinaire. Really good stuff. Follow him because every time there's a move made, boom, you see some a statistical profile that he puts up there. Man, the one that got away, Max Pacioretty, that's one we talked about all day yesterday. And, of course, the shocker. They gave him away. But as you heard Jack say, and I think there had to be something to this, giving him away is one thing. Giving away to the West is probably another. So it probably needed to be an Eastern team. But we'll see where the Predators go from here. What's the move? Well, let me tell you what the move is right now. Let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They want to keep people moving, right? Activity is what you like. You want to do the things that you love to do. But as the age creeps up, sometimes the joint pain creeps up. And how have we dealt with it over the years? Well, there's the traditional methods, the steroid shots, pain meds, all the things like that. It's really not ideal. It's worked for a lot of people, but maybe there's some frustration with that and you're looking for something new. That's where QC Kinetics comes in with their regenerative treatments. It's outstanding. Regenerative medicine can restore and repair the damaged joint, whether it's your hips, knees, shoulders, back. They use natural biologics. No drugs, no downtime, no surgery. They can address any pain in any joint and give you that quality of life you're looking for. QC Kinetics, call them because it's a free consultation. Find out more. This might be exactly what you've been looking for to get back doing the things you love to do. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024.
Good stuff from Jay Fresh. I will admit, yesterday, well, I was going to say may or may not have, but if I admit, then I'm already telling you I did. I may have thrown something across the room when I saw Pacioretty to Carolina. I may have done that. I was going to say I may or may not have done it, but I've already kind of let the cat out of the bag. I was pretty ticked. It seemed like exactly what we laid out yesterday. It was perfect. It was a scrap heap. They had to get rid of him, and so they just gave him away. I mean, future considerations? What? Pucks? Barbecue? What? I mean, what? What?
Nothing.
What are they sending him? A Duke shirt? A North Carolina shirt?
Yeah.
Tickets? Season tickets? I mean.
I would consider that in the future.
I mean, future considerations? You just gave away Max Pacioretty, and he fit exactly what David Poile told us that he's looking for. He's looking for something small. Look, all these deals have been crazy. For all the fans out there, like, what are they doing? Why? Really? These deals. Look at these deals. Like, you think that they're in that game? They just – look, Ryan McDonagh right now is their deal. 4 more years at, what, 6.75 or whatever. That's a huge deal. Re-signing Philip Forsberg. They're not looking – for 5, 6, 7 year deals. And that's what's been thrown out there. Or max deal, 8 year deals. So I get it. Like, it's been crazy, these signings. But this one does fit the bill, and he's a tremendous player. And Vegas said, here, we can't afford it anymore. We've got to get him off the books. Here you go. Send us whatever you want. We don't care. Bag of pucks.
Nothing.
Barbecue. Maybe a smiley sticker. Don't care. Just take him. Like, that to me is where I may, yeah, I'm not going to say or may not have, because I did. I may have been a little bit upset. Like, I was why didn't it happen? And maybe it's exactly what took place in that interview. Maybe Vegas said, yeah, we're going to give him away, but it's going to be somebody we only see twice a year, not in our conference.
And I do wonder if that was part of the thinking. It's one of the things that maybe makes sense. Look, we have no idea if the Predators were beating down the door and talking to Vegas about something like this. But it fits the profile. If they weren't, I don't think they were doing their due diligence. I wonder, too, if you're Vegas, there was even a second player thrown in there, Dylan Coghlan, who is just a role player. But it's like Vegas was like, who will take the money off our hands right now? We've got to get this done today. Anybody want him in the East? Boom. One of the things we talked about yesterday is $7 million, which is what Pacioretty's deal is for this year, is a little steep for what the Predators' budget is this year. They've got some cap space, but they still have to sign Yakov Trenin. And, you know, you've got this Lankinen story there. They might want to look at some insurance in goal. And that was interesting that Jay Fresh sees Lankinen as a guy that maybe you could get on a two-way deal. We'll see. He's not signed by anybody else yet. There was a ton of goalies that got moved yesterday, so maybe that's all he can get is a two-way deal. That makes more sense. I'm all for that. Two-way deal, I'm in. But you see what I'm saying? You got to give yourself a little bit of wiggle room. So I was saying throw in some incentives, some sweeteners, a couple of draft picks even, to get the number down to maybe 5.5 or something like that. Then you're right in the wheelhouse. And that would have been better for Vegas, right? You get a couple draft picks back instead of Freddie Charles, like you said, the future considerations and a couple of sweatshirts from the Triangle, Tobacco Road, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. So I don't know where the Predators were in that or if Vegas was saying, look, we're in a desperate situation here. I'd like to help you, but I'm not giving him to you. You're in our conference, right? If we deal with him in the Stanley Cup final, fine. But how bad has Vegas mismanaged this cap? They're still over the cap, Darren.
I know.
They just shed almost $8 million. The other guy was, what, $750K or something? They're still over the cap. Mm-hmm. So I do think they're going to get some more phone calls before it's over. But the real question is not with Vegas. Nobody cares about Vegas. Except for, hey, how good are they going to be? They've still got massive goalie problems. They have no depth. They've traded all their draft picks. They're in trouble. If anybody gets hurt, their top line players are really good, but I wonder what's underneath there. They've got some restricted free agents they need to sign. I have put together a list, Darren. We can go over some of it with Robbie. I'll float some names at you guys. Of other players who are in the last year of their contract on teams that are squeezed with the cap to where you could get a similar situation. Some would take some value. JT Miller in particular is the best player out there. Vancouver signed a guy to a four-year deal yesterday that put them over the cap. They're planning on trading JT Miller, I think. They've also got Bo Horvat, who is a heck of a player, in the last year of his deal. I don't think they can keep them both. But what is the trade value? You heard Jay Fresh say I think ideally Miller was probably shopping around going, because they've been shopping him for weeks. I think he wanted the Kyle Turris treatment. Trade for me, and I'll agree to sign a long-term deal with your team. The problem is very few teams have that ability to do right now. The Predators absolutely don't. So I don't know how that is going to work, but Miller is still right now sitting there. For the Canucks. They've been shopping him since well before the draft. We'll talk to Elliot about that. But I've got some other guys in mind, Darren, as just possible moves. I don't think this is going to blow you away, but would it be a solid upgrade? Because look, the free agents, they all did get paid. They all got 5, 6, 7 year deals, at least four. Mm-hmm. Those may prove to be really bad deals in a lot of cases. Some of them absolutely will. The odds would tell you. Maybe a few of them work out really well. But the Predators are not interested in signing a Vincent Trocheck 7-year kind of deal, right? Or even a 5-year deal.
They
said as much.
But I wouldn't have given him 7 years. I mean, there's no way. No way.
So the guy's still out there. There's Dylan Strome. There's Nino Niederreiter.
Because Ryan signed with Anaheim.
Ryan is a 5-year deal.
5-year deal.
But are you? Do you want Dylan Strome for 5 years or Nino Niederreiter for 5 years?
I mean, Dylan is young.
Dylan is young.
You know, Niederreiter fits their profile, but five? No, they're not. They can't. Again, you can't keep signing it. I've said this for years. You can't give everybody 5, 6, 7, 8 year deals. You can't do it. You can't have a roster,
right,
or you end up being like Vegas.
Right. You can have a certain amount, but I think the Predators, David Poile told us, they're at their limit with that right now. So let's talk to Robbie about this whole situation going here, because they still have to make a move. They need to make a move, but what's the move?
His name is Robbie Stanley. He'll start the second hour. We'll talk to him next.